The reading is taken from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 26, verses 17 to 29, and can be found on page 996 in the Pew Bibles. On the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Where do you want us to make preparations for you to eat the Passover?" He replied, "Go into the city to a certain man and tell him, 'The teacher says, my appointed time is near. I am going to celebrate the Passover with my disciples at your house.'" So the disciples did as Jesus had directed them and prepared the Passover. When evening came, Jesus was reclining at the table with the 12. And while they were eating, he said, "I tell you the truth, one of you will betray me." They were very sad and began to say to him, one after the other, "Surely not I, Lord." Jesus replied, "The one who has dipped his hand into the bowl with me will betray me. The Son of Man will go just as it is written about him. But woe to that man who betrays the Son of Man. It would be better for him if he had not been born." Then Judas, the one who would betray him, said, "Surely not I, Rabbi." Jesus answered, "Yes, it is you." While they were eating, Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body." Then he took the cup and gave thanks and offered it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom." This is the word of the Lord.
Almighty God, our loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, and we pray that the Spirit who caused these words to be written would be at work in our hearts, helping us to see afresh what Jesus has done for us on the cross, and would see the meaning of an act that we have perhaps seen so many times and maybe take for granted. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please do sit down. Well, I'd like to begin, and maybe this is a question for this section of the church. Can anyone tell me some meals that you've had that are really special? Can you think of a really special meal that you've had? Maybe a special occasion when you've had a special meal? Can you think? Whispers over here.
Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving, yes. Can you think of a special meal? Henry? Christmas, yes. Hopefully we'll have some, if you eat turkey for Christmas, hopefully there'll be some turkey in the shops for Christmas this year. Who knows? I've got a picture of a special meal to come up on the screen. Can we have that, please? There we go. There's a special meal. And you might be able to recognise a couple of the people there on the right-hand side. Can anyone tell me what special meal that might be? Ooh, hand's gone up here. Yeah, what special meal is that?
Birthday.
It's a good idea. Birthday. It's even more special than a birthday, Henry. A wedding, yes. This was our wedding reception. And there's just a snapshot of it. And in one sense, it's quite a serious picture because we've made promises to each other before God. But of course, it's also a very joyful picture because we've been joined together in marriage. We are now one. We've promised ourselves to each other. And we had friends and family around us on that day. But we've had many more meals since then when we've had family and friends into our home. And it points us forward to the future as well, when we know that we'll have other people around our table. So that meal is very special to us. We're going to think about the meal Jesus gave his disciples to share with one another. We call it the Lord's Supper or Holy Communion. And last week I introduced you to the word sacrament. And it is a sign and a seal. It's a sign, it shows what God has done for us. But it's more than just a sign, it's also a seal. It shows that God has done it for me, if I come to him in faith, if I trust in him. And it's all about, it's this kind of sign, it's a sign that points us back to the cross. It's all about what Jesus has done on the cross. It's a picture of that, and it's a picture that Jesus has done that for me. So we're going to think about four directions that Jesus wants us to look when we share this meal of the Lord's Supper together. And the first direction is to look back. And we'll look back at the cross. In that reading from Matthew chapter 26, just look again at verses 17 to 19. Those first few verses of Matthew 26, page 996. What special meal were Jesus and his followers going to have at that time? It's mentioned several times. Do you know, Reuben?
Passover.
It's the Passover. Very good. The Passover was a very special meal for Jesus and his followers because it reminded them of a very special event that happened in the past. They were slaves in Egypt, and God rescued them from slavery in Egypt. They had to kill a lamb for each household and put the blood of the lamb on the doorposts and on the lintel, the bar across the top of the door. And then when God judged the Egyptians, the people of Israel were spared and they were allowed to go free. They were spared God's judgment because a lamb died and its blood was shed in their place. And Jesus says, I'm going to achieve an even greater rescue. He's going to rescue us from our sin. We haven't lived with God in charge of our lives. We've lived as if we were in charge. We haven't said or thought or done the things that we should. And Jesus says he is going to give his life to rescue us. And so he mentions in that passage a number of times that he's going to be betrayed. And then even more clearly, he says in verse 28, this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. So in communion, we have wine, and it's poured out and it's a sign that Jesus' blood was shed so that we could be forgiven. And so we need to look back at the cross and we need to turn away from our own sin, our own rebellion against God. And we need to trust in him. And if we've done that, then when we eat the bread and drink the wine, God is saying, I'm assuring you, I'm promising you that your sins have been forgiven by Jesus' death on the cross. And we give thanks for what Jesus has done for us. So we look back, and if you want a word to go with that arrow, we could have forgiven. We look back at the cross where we are forgiven. But there's another direction that we are to look. And that is, we are to look up. It's not just something we look back on and remember. We are to look up. That act of eating bread and drinking wine shows that we are making the bread and drinking the wine one with us. And it is a sign of being joined to Jesus, of being united with him. And elsewhere in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul says as much. He says, the bread which we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? The blood, the cup which we drink, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ? We are united to Jesus. We look up. Now, how is Jesus present with us in communion? This has been something that Christians have argued about for many years. Some Christians believe, particularly the Roman Catholic Church, that although the bread and the wine look like bread and wine, when the minister says certain words, they actually change into something else. They change into the actual body and blood of Jesus. Now, where is Jesus now? Where is Jesus now? In heaven. His body and blood are in heaven. He died, he rose again, he ascended into heaven. Jesus is truly human. He can't be in two places at once. He can't be in heaven and physically on earth. So how are we in Jesus' presence in communion? In the New Testament, because Jesus is in heaven, we are told to set our hearts on heaven. Let me read to you from Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. He says, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. So Jesus is in heaven at the right hand of God, and we are told that we are to set our hearts there. So when we eat the bread and drink the wine, which Jesus says is my body and my blood, we're to look beyond them and look up to where Jesus is in heaven. So he is present, but spiritually, we are present to him spiritually in heaven. And we are to feed on him, just as we take the bread and the wine into our bodies, which strengthen our bodies, so we are to receive him and receive strength from him, to receive life from him. Just like my arm is joined to the rest of my body, and my arm gets blood from the rest of my body and is able to live because it's connected. So in communion we look up to where Jesus now is, seated at the right hand of the Father, and we might say that there we are fed. We are forgiven and we are fed. Now this is all very much about me and how I benefit from communion, but there's another aspect too. We don't just eat the bread and the wine on our own. So another direction to look, this will be slightly trickier to draw, is around. We ought to look around. Because in communion we have bread, and Jesus took bread and he broke it and he gave it to his disciples, and they were then to take the bread and eat it themselves. So they were all eating from the one bread. In the same way, Jesus took the cup and he gave it to them, and they all drank from that one cup. And it's a sign that through his death, he makes all those who trust in him one. And again, in another part of the New Testament, Paul says the same thing. He says, we who are many are one body because we all share in the one bread. And it's through eating the bread and drinking the wine that not only is it a sign that Jesus' death makes us one, it helps strengthen the fact that we are one. And that affects how we share communion. I think it means that we should, where possible, be sharing bread from the same loaf of bread rather than little individual pieces, because it's not about me and my communion, but we're sharing it together. And normally we'd share from the one cup to show that we are sharing this together, although we're in unusual times. And that's obviously what Jesus did in Matthew's Gospel. It also means that we shouldn't just be focusing on ourselves, but we should be looking outwards to our brothers and sisters around us who are sharing in communion. Though we are so different in so many ways, we are all brought together through Jesus' death on the cross. And because we are one through Jesus' death on the cross, when we come to the Lord's table, if we have wronged someone, we need to put that right before we share in the bread and the wine together. Otherwise, we're behaving in a way that is not consistent with being one body. Now, at the end of this building, that is not an altar. We do not offer sacrifices. Jesus gave himself once for all by his death on the cross. We remember that one death on the cross. When we look back, that is a table at which we share a meal. However, Jesus, earlier in Matthew's Gospel, is talking about Old Testament worship, and he says, when you are going to the temple with your gift, and you realize that your brother has something against you, leave your gift at the altar, be reconciled to your brother, make things right, and then offer your gift. Now again, this isn't an altar. We don't offer anything to God. We are remembering what he has done for us. We are remembering Jesus' offering. But Jesus would say the same thing about coming to the Lord's table. Be reconciled to one another. Put things right before you share the bread and drink the wine. So we look around, and a word that we might use for that is fellowship. We've looked back to the past, we're looking at what we enjoy in the present. One last direction. We look forward. And so I'll do one more arrow. The verses I read at the beginning of the service spoke about the future that awaits God's people. And in a number of places in the Old Testament, that future is pictured as a feast. It's pictured as a feast, that day when death itself is defeated. And Jesus says that the Lord's Supper is meant to point us forward to that feast. And he says that in verse 29 of Matthew 26. He says, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom. He's talking about that day when there is no more opposition to God as king. And he's saying that the meal that he's sharing with them now is pointing forward to that day. And in fact, it's more than just pointing them forward to it. It's just a little bit of a taste now. Like you might go around a shop and they might be offering samples for you to taste so that you buy the real product. He's giving us a sample of it now. And we'll enjoy the real thing when Jesus returns. And so this is a meal that should bring us joy and gladness because of the future to which it points us. But it also helps us keep going on in our Christian life. The sun seems to be shining through the windows now, but imagine it was how it was earlier this morning, and you were going on a walk, and it was raining, and the wind was in your face, and it was dark, and you were just tempted to give up on that walk. But you knew that at the end of that walk, there was a warm house, there's going to be a meal ready for you, and you're going to have family and friends around that table. That would cause you to not give up on that walk, but to keep on going until you reach the end. Well, the Lord's Supper does that. The Christian life is hard. It's a struggle against our sin, the wrong things that we want to do, but that we know we don't want to. It's a struggle against opposition from people who don't like the fact that we're Christians, maybe our friends or our families. It's hard being a Christian, and we might be tempted to give up. But that future feast helps us to keep going. So, one last word to help us remember. We look forward to the feast. So, we've been thinking about the Lord's Supper and what it means, and you may have seen the Lord's Supper happen a number of times. You may have even received it. And maybe you realize you don't yet trust in Jesus for yourself, but you've seen that it points back to his death on the cross so that you can be forgiven. You've seen that it points us up to him so that we can be one with him. You've seen that it helps form one body out of so many different people. You've seen that it points forward to a future feast where there'll be no suffering or weeping. And you want that for yourself. Can I urge you to turn away from your sin, to trust in Jesus for your forgiveness? And if you don't yet receive communion and you want to start receiving, then please do let me know. But for those of us who do receive communion on a regular basis, when we receive, look back. Look back at the cross, turn away from our sins and trust in him and trust in Christ. And do so with thankfulness. Look up. We are one with Christ. Look up to him to receive life from him, to be fed by him. Look around at your brothers and sisters whom Jesus died for. And if necessary, put things right with them. And then look forward to the future and that future feast. And eat and drink with gladness. And may the Lord's Supper help sustain us on our journey to that future feast. Let me pray. Almighty God, our loving Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have made us with bodies, with eyes and ears and hands. And you not only speak to us in words, but you give us sacraments, you give us baptism, you give us communion as ways to show us the gospel, as ways to assure us of your love for us and of what Jesus has done for us. We pray for each of us that we would turn from our sins, trust in Christ, know that we are one with him, know that we are part of his family. And would we have that hope of being with him in the future forever? We pray this in his name. Amen.